I was speaking to a gentleman, and in the course of our conversation, I asked him, now what do you do for a living? And he kind of hummed around a little bit. He said, I work with numbers. And I said, are you an accountant? He said, well, not really so much that. It's kind of like, I said, a banker? Do you work in banking? No, I don't. And I just kind of looked puzzled. And he finally just said, I work for the IRS, Father. I said, well, that's okay. You're allowed to do that, too. He said, well, but most people think I'm the enemy, so I just kind of not say a whole lot about it. It must be difficult to work for the IRS, since they're the ones who take all our money. And how much more so, too, for Zacchaeus, that we can understand in our reading today, because Zacchaeus is not only the tax collector, he is the chief tax collector, and a wealthy one at that. Now, for the Jewish people, the tax collectors were hated very much because they were working for an occupying government. They were working for Rome. So they had kind of like abandoned who they were as Israelites, God's chosen people, to work for this pagan government whose leader they think is like a god. And so they kind of just pushed them aside. And so another reason, because the tax collector could add on his own sense of worth to the tax. As long as you paid the tax, you got the taxes, Rome was happy. Now what you did with it otherwise, they didn't care. So if you owed a tax of a dollar and the tax collector said you owe $2.50, you know he was sticking you for $1.50. And so they didn't like that and they hated them. They considered them sinners and traitors, and that was just not what they wanted around them. And so to see that here this man Zacchaeus is wondering, who is this person Jesus that they're all looking towards and following and hearing about? And Jesus notices him. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but Jesus noticed Zacchaeus and tells him, I'm going to come to your house. Wow. What a shocker that must have been for the people around him that day, to think that Jesus was willing to go to somebody who was so bad in their eyes, giving up their faith, their country, and he's going to go to their house to eat tonight? When we listen to that first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the author speaks of that great attribute of God in such beautiful and consoling words. It's about his mercy. God wants us to understand that he is merciful. When he looks at each one of us, he remembers how we were all created. When we go back to the book of Genesis, he said God created us in his own image and likeness. And when he did that, he said, when he created man, it is very good. This is the prize of his life, that we represent God, and we look like God. And when he sees us, he sees himself. And so he wants to extend us his love and his mercy and compassion. Now, as a sinner myself, that is a great consolation for me. For when I had to kneel before my confessor and examine my heart and my actions for the past month and realize I have not done everything God has called me to do or called me to be. But it's a wonderful experience to be able to hear those words, I absolve you of your sins, and to be sent forth in God's love and peace. It is a great feeling. And Zacchaeus came to know that when he met Christ. Christ tapped at his heart, and Zacchaeus opened the doors to his house and welcomed him in. And because he is so filled with joy in meeting Christ and having somebody who would love him and recognize him and extend a hand of mercy towards him, he says, I'm willing to give up half of my possessions and give to the poor. And if I've exhorted anybody incorrectly, I'll pay them back fourfold. Could you imagine the IRS did that to us? Jesus is always speaking to us, always calling to each one of us. We are his children. God is always calling to each one of us to bring us back to himself. And so that when we feel that tug in our heart, when maybe we have said something or did something that we know that wasn't the best thing to do, or when we hear in our minds the voice, our conscience, I think it's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, no, don't go there, don't do that, don't say that. Why don't you say this instead? Why don't you do this instead? Then God is always moving in our hearts, directing us to bring us forward into his life. As we come to the end of this year of mercy that Pope Francis has extended to the whole church, it may be a good time to look at our hearts and our lives and to see, is there anything standing in the way? Is there anything blocking us, blinding us from seeing Christ or seeing our brothers and sisters around us? And if so, then let's approach the great sacrament of mercy in the confessional and bring that all to the Lord, who wants us to experience that love and mercy, so that we ourselves can be made whole, to be the person God created us to be, that we know that when God looks at us, he sees us as very good. And we come towards him with our hearts open for that presence, that we can embrace him just as he embraces us in this great sacrament.